You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Missions for His Glory, When We Are Weak, He is Strong, is a special message on international missions and is taught by Pastor Jonathan Mortiz. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Joanna Marie Buenhog, an eldest daughter of Pastor Jonathan and Sister Malu, and I'm 24 years old. I've been sponsored way back in four-year high school until college. I have two siblings, and all of us taking college in my family. Only my father have work, a taxi driver. College is almost 30,000 a year. So it's hard because my family is not well. I pray to God, Lord, can someone help me to my study, because it's hard to take a college without sponsorship. And that time, my prayers take long answered by God. But because I have a relationship with God since I was 9 years old, I trust God and have faith with Him that someone can sponsor my study. And praise to God, because 2 years ago, 2018, sponsored my college tuition. Or some of the kids in the Sisho Veterans, they say, Ate Jonna, I'm not going to school next year because I don't have a school supplies, I don't have transportation, I don't have bags, I don't have sleepers. I prayed to them that we need to go to school because it's a big help for us, and that education cannot get it anyone for you. I asked God, Lord, can I be someone who can help those children even though I'm not yet finished in college? And last year, there's an opportunity, told us Teacher Edna that as one of her discipleship group, we need to pray that can someone help those children in the Palawan? And we pray, and I asked God, Lord, can I help? I can help. Although it's big, but Lord blessed me so much. I thank God because the opportunity comes, and I told God, Lord, I can help. I can help to sponsor one child this year. And, well, it's a blessing because we started to give something that we have in those children in the Palawan, and also praying for next year for Iloilo again. So much blessing for God. His name is Glory because of the blessings that He gave us in my family, especially now that my father is full-time assistant pastor. So, to God be the glory.
Our theme for the missions trip is Mission for His Glory. When we are weak, He is strong. That was Jonah, sponsored through education. She's just waiting to take her board exam. And now she's sponsoring a child from another poor area in southern Philippines. Jonah and her family are not rich. They are poor. But now I'm seeing that the word poor is relative. Because even in the dump site, they have class or level. But she has a mission to glorify God. Though she's weak and poor, her God is rich and strong. What a clear depiction of our theme. The issue is not how weak or poor she is or we are. The issue is how big our God is. We are not a big church, but we have a big God that puts on us a big heart to love on others. Amen? They acknowledge that our church by saying, why did these people come to us yearly? They raise their own funds. They're enjoying now America. They leave their families and the comforts in America, and they come and visit us and bless us and love on us through Jesus Christ. Now they get it. Yearly, their poor church in Payatas is sending a mission team to Palawan, to the southern Philippines, to a tribal group poorer than them, and bless them in Jesus' name. The ministry is passed on. It's a trickle effect. God's blessing will continue on to people who are willing that their lives be a channel of His blessing. His blessings always flow, and let's be a conduit of God's blessing and not a congestion. Jonah, together with her parents, Pastor Jonathan and Sister Malu, what a good name too, right? Are the pastors overseeing the feeding program we at Woodbridge Church support on a monthly basis. The whole family is serving the Lord. Pastor Jonathan and Sister Malu are discipling the parents. Their children, together with other youth, are ministering to the kids and the other youth. Every week they do this. They go to four areas. Now other areas are inviting them to open a work there. They can no longer handle the demand. This is a good problem. Presently, they are asking God how to guide them. Now, for our word today, I want to share to you what God taught me in this trip. First, God desires a broken and a contrite heart, a humble heart. In Psalm 51:17, it says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." One thing that struck me at our church family camp is our pursuit as a church to have a culture of grace. Yes, we are all different with one another. Pastor Danny emphasized this. We have different cultures. We have different colors. We have different languages and accents. My kids always laugh at my accent. But we are all the same. Broken, insecure sinners, right? We need God's grace to look beyond the color, the language, the ethnicities, and to look at Jesus in our brother or sister's life. When I look at you, I need to look at Jesus in you and not only your brokenness. When you look at me, look at Jesus in me. Pass by my brokenness too. I'm a broken person, and I only need Jesus. We all need Jesus. When we understand the culture of grace, we understand humility. We are all in the same playing field, and we all need God. Amen? In my personal Bible reading in the Old Testament, the working of God always are brought about by people humbling before God. One instance is King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, 1-4. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom and other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazaron Tamar, that is En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek Him. And they humbled before God. And you know the end result of that story. God delivered Judah miraculously. We will see time and time and again, as history showed it, God delivers His people when we humble before Him. Another thing I learned from our mission trip is the importance of prayer. Prayer is essential to Christian living. This mission trip is covered by much prayer. This church had prayed for us. Our missions committee had prayed much for the team. Our growth group prayed for us. Our church prayer warriors prayed for us. I asked my Facebook prayer movers to pray for us, and they did. We individually prayed intently and seriously prayed. Many had prayed for us. You remember when we had this fundraising and all of a sudden there was a scene here. And I was praying, Lord, what do you want us to learn from that? And we really saw the difference of hate, and we also see the difference of a great love in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's really the depiction. And we only need to understand that God is in control for everything. That's why in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're fighting not against flesh and blood. That's why in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And God provided us this armaments, the spiritual, breastplates and everything, helmets for us to fight. But in conclusion to that, we pray because we are fighting not against flesh and blood. The greatest example for Christians in prayer is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ himself. His life is a constant prayer. He's always communicating with his Father. Even before he died, he prayed for those who persecuted him. And he spoke his last by speaking to his Father. Up to the end, he was communicating with his Father. And now his ministry is to pray and intercede for us. He didn't stop the ministry of prayer. Brothers and sisters, prayer to our Heavenly Father is a key element in a Christian walk. Let's become a praying individual and become a praying church. A praying church is composed of praying individuals. I firmly believe that we can fill this place with people seeking for God when we, His people, start seeking for Him and humbling down before Him. This is our mission for His glory. When we are weak, He is strong. I'd like to thank the Lord for this church, for this wonderful opportunity He gave us, and to minister to our partner churches in the Philippines. You saw the video there. It's only one partner we have. And there's another video that we're going to show you. I thank God for the Takahashis, who's doing well, much of their video ministry. I also thank the Lord for this church by sending us out with your full blessings. Thirdly, I thank the Lord for the team this year and the previous years. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is bringing tremendous result we see with our very own eyes. Lives are changed. Lives are ushered back to Him. Hope is given to families and restored the families because of the message of the gospel of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Do we believe that? Amen. And not only the Philippines, the support you are giving to our missions funds are reaching out to places like Africa, Japan, Tecate, Mexico, Irvine neighborhood, Los Angeles, Skid Row, and areas not safe to mention because we have missionaries there. We have 32 missionaries and agencies all in all. Praise God for changed lives. Mission for His glory. When we are weak, He is strong. Amen. I'd like to call our missions team and, come up here and we'll share our testimony. I'd like to call our chairman. All right. I always call, Matt, Dr. Matt, the chairman of the board. And they're so happy. Oh, your chairman of the board is going with you on mission trip? That's a big thing, actually. That's really a big thing, especially in Asian culture. So, Matt, please.
When I was little, growing up, I still remember, especially in the summertime, my dad would be out in the backyard mowing the lawn. And I was too little to push the mower, but my mom would send me out with a glass of cold water for Dad. And so I'd give him water. And I felt like having been in the Philippines last year and seeing the heavy pushing and lifting that the locals do there, the pastors and their staff, I felt like this year this is kind of what I wanted to do. I'm not one of the heavy lifters there, but maybe I can bring a cold glass of water. And I think they were all very thankful that we were there. And I want to echo what Pastor Jay said. Thank you, church, our local family here, for blessing us with your support, your encouragement, and your prayer. It really means a lot to them there in the Philippines also, knowing that there's a whole body here who are praying for them and thinking of them. In fact, I don't know what time it is there, but every Sunday they're actually praying for us. Every Sunday, Pastor Carlos and his leaders, they get together and they pray for all of their ministry partners. So it's a two-way street, and we kind of got to be the face to receive all the thanksgiving from them, but we definitely want to pass it on to you guys too. Very thankful. I have no doubt that your prayers covered us through this trip, just like the prayers of our friends and family cover us through our lives. So one thing that kind of unexpectedly impressed me during our trip was our second Sunday there. We got to spend Sunday morning service at a place called Sower's Church. And we visited different churches is we tried to sing our song in Tagalog, and Pastor Jay would share the word with them. But at the end of the service, we were standing there, and the pastor there, Pastor Johnson, called up all his leaders. And they formed kind of like a semicircle facing us, and they prayed for us. And the sensation or the feeling I got was, so this is Sower's Church, right? They're sowing the word. That's their mission. And I felt like they were saying, thank you for the glass of water, for pushing us along this road. But here we are, we're handing you the baton, and we want you to be doing the same thing. And I realized at that point, thinking back, as this was towards the end of our trip, why was it so exciting in the Philippines? One of the reasons is because we saw so many people who did not know Christ coming to meet him. And it's through efforts of people like those at Sowers. And it really helped me to have a sense that we ought to be looking outward more. Pastor Frank last week, asked us, so if the Lord were to come back, are you going to be ready? And I think most of us can say we could be a little bit more ready, but at least we're confident our names are in that book of life. But at the same time, I think we all have friends, co-workers, you know, family members, people that we really care about who may not be in that book. And it inspired me, that meeting with them, to think about them more and to make more of an effort to reach. We don't have to look very far. It's our own personal friends to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear the word, to sow into them. We may not see the harvest. I know a lot of those people in that church may not see the harvest themselves, but they're faithfully sowing the word. So I felt like them telling us, hey, we've been faithful here. We're sowing the word. You guys go and do the same. So that really impressed me when we were there.
Good morning. So, first of all, I forgot what I was going to say, but so as Pastor Jonathan said, the theme of the mission was when we are weak, he is strong, from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this was my second time, like Matt, going on the trip, and I went last year as well. And one thing that I realized as we were preparing for this trip and thinking of the theme was like, how, in what ways could we be weak so that he could be strong? And I think as I was thinking about this, I realized that even the missions trip itself, just going on a missions trip, already puts us out of our comfort zone. And what Paul said in 2 Corinthians was that there was a thorn in his flesh, right? There was something that was not comfortable. And he asked God to take it away, and then he realized that God doesn't want to take it away because that keeps him grounded, helps him to stay humble and dependent on God. So in many ways, just even the missions trip puts us out of our comfort zone. I think we all can relate that to the, you know, wanting to maybe at times be in the comfort of our house or whatever, just back in America, just because it's more comfortable here. You know, it was really hot there. I think it was worse than how it's been the last few days here. And mosquitoes, I probably got bit 50 times. And, you know, so I'm not saying it wasn't, you know, that aspect is not great. But, you know, I think our flesh always longs for comfort. And that's why Paul realized that it's really the biggest obstacle for God getting his glory is our flesh and our desire for comfort. So intentionally putting ourselves in a situation where we're not comfortable, if we really surrender to God, I think could be a blessing. And that's what I saw just in general in the people there, is that because they don't have the comforts that we have here, they have a certain beauty to them that is so rare here to see. And that's so attractive to me. Like, not just the children there, but the adults are all childlike because they don't have a lot. Outwardly, but they realize that, you know, what they do have, which is God, is so much more precious. So thank you for praying for us and the opportunity. I think, as you know, we've mentioned, many of us have said, we feel more blessed going than the blessing that we give them there. That's the way I feel, for sure. So I really thank God that I had the chance to go. Thank you.
Hello, Woodbridge. My name is David, and this is my wife, Jamie. First off, I just want to thank God for the privilege of being able to go on this trip to the Philippines. It was amazing to see and witness all that we did out there. And Woodbridge, thank you for sending us out there. It was awesome. And thank God that we dodged the bullet of eating balut. Right, John? Didn't have to handle that. But yeah, one thing I wanted to speak on that I saw on this trip was sacrifice. So I was expecting in the Filipino culture that they would have like different traditions or have like their own way in walking in the Christian faith. But as we went out there, I saw that it's actually very similar to what we're doing here. Like, people there are just denying themselves so that they can serve and love others unconditionally in the name of God. And so I was really surprised and inspired by that, because we also just came back from Africa too, and it was very similar there in their culture, that people just wanted to serve the Lord with all their heart. And so I just wanted to say that as an encouragement to us, like, all over the world, Christians are doing what we're doing here, just serving the Lord, spreading the gospel, and that makes sense because we all are building on the same rock and foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. But then also to challenge us, because we met so many people that sacrificed major opportunities for job promotions, for a comfortable life, so that they can go help the needy and those who haven't heard the gospel. So to challenge us to see what God is asking us to sacrifice so that we can reach more people in need. So thank you.
And to build on that too, it was encouraging to see that Woodbridge and the church in the Philippines were all one body. And one thing that we did when we had to introduce ourselves when we went to visit the different sites is we had to say a few sentences about ourselves. And so I would say, we're taking these videos because people back at home at Woodbridge, they want to see your faces because they didn't get to come to the Philippines. And they want to see what you look like and what God is doing here. And they would get really excited. They would smile and be happy to know that you guys care about them too. And like Matt said, we got to go there and receive their thanks, but we are representing you, and together we are representing the Lord. And no credit to us, no credit to Woodbridge, or even the church in the Philippines. We're doing this all for the Lord, for his credit. And one thing that stood out to me while we were there is, like David said, the sacrifice of people giving up. They died to themselves to live for God's kingdom and for his glory. And that is an example to us, but ultimately our example is through Christ. And Christ is the one that died. He died for us. He died to himself to bring us life and to bring us hope. And so I wanted to read in John 17 really quick. This is right before Jesus was betrayed. And he is praying, like he's looking on his ministry that he's had. And he prays, he says, first, he tells God, "I've glorified you in this earth. I have finished the work which you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." So he's our ultimate example. He submitted to the Lord and did what God called him to do. And then he goes on to pray, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I'm no longer in the world, but those who are in the world, us. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you've given me, that they may be one." We're one with the church in the Philippines. We're one here, as we are. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified in the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that," and this is a call for us, "the world may believe that you sent me," that Jesus was sent by God. So may we live lives as one, so that we testify to what God has done.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Hope you guys are all doing well today. For those of you who don't know, I am Renee, and I was really blessed to join this group right here. The first part of the mission was in a province called Negros Occidental. I was unfortunately unable to join the second part, but it was in Kabukungan, and I just wanted to share a couple of things, my experience there. So prior to leaving for the mission trip, we had a mission fundraiser here at Woodbridge Community Church. And during our testimony section, we talked about themes that we would encounter during the mission, like faithfulness, humility, and love. And love was something that really stood out to me, because I really experienced love during the mission trip, but from the people that we were supposed to serve. But I also felt like they were helping me more. The first example was that really resonated with me was, even though a lot of the people didn't have a lot of things, they were always willing to give it, and with such, like, their whole heart. The first thing that I remembered was obviously the food and the hospitality. They were always trying to feed us, even though, like, 2 hours later, they fed us again. And that was really sweet. And one of the satellite churches that we visited during Kabukungan, one of them gave Hannah, Atifina's daughter, a chicken. At first, we didn't want to take it, but like I said, whatever they had, they wanted to give it. And we're like, no, it's okay, but apparently we had a chicken. So pretty much the last, like, 2 or 3 weeks, we just, yeah, we had, like, we were petting, had like a little leash. So it was crazy. Like, but the whole thing is, it was so touching because that family, like, that's how they supported themselves, you know, like having a little poultry farm and roosters. And one of them, they just gave away like one of their, the ones that laid the eggs. So it was really sweet. And the third thing about love that I wanted to share in this, during this mission was that they were so giving and helpful, actually more so than I was, because I actually caught, I think, viral bronchitis when I ended up seeing a doctor afterwards. And when I was in the mission, they were like, oh, here's a room, or here's some liquids, and here's some malunggay. They were really big on their herbal and ginger, that kind of stuff. So they're very helpful. So the second thing that I wanted to share that really stood out with the mission was it helped me reconnect with a culture I grew up in. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but just a little background. So the Philippines has all these like islands and provinces, and I used to think, oh, everyone spoke Tagalog. But it's actually not true. If you got formal schooling, you're able to speak English and Tagalog. But a lot of the people who were too poor to stay in school, they were unfortunately unable to learn the national language. So a lot of the dialects are just confined to whatever province you grew up in. And I was born in the Philippines, and I grew up in the province of Iloilo, which is actually the same dialect as where we ended up doing mission work. I really didn't appreciate it at the time, but I was able to understand a little bit of what the people were saying, and I was actually able to practice it. And I haven't really spoken in like almost like 20 years, but it's crazy. You can kind of like understand it. And when they found out I could kind of speak it, they just, their face lit up because they really wanted to communicate with us, you know? And Atifina and Pastor Jonathan, they spoke Tagalog, but a lot of us, they were asking me all these questions, and you know, I was able to ask and just communicate. So that's another thing that really stood out during the trip. So again, thank you so much, Woodbridge, for just supporting international missions, local missions, and this mission trip was amazing, and thank you.
So I'm James, and this was my first time going to the Philippines missions trip. So the first thing that that really hit me was the living conditions that the people lived in the province. It was, I think, there was 8 kids and 1 mom, and they were living in a 5x4 meter shack. And it just had like a roof and then just 4 walls, and it had no running water, no electricity. And for me, it was like shocking because like the first time seeing it with my own eyes, and I'm like, there was no way like I could imagine like living like that, because I've been living in Irvine my whole life. It's a pretty decent life, and pretty decent. So, yeah. So like just seeing that, and then yet how much joy they still showed seeing us, and how like happy and how much faith they still have in God. With the little amount they have, they still sacrifice so much. And like every Sunday, they would like, people would walk miles just to go to church. Like sometimes here, I'm just reluctant to drive to church. So like coming back from the Philippines, it really challenged me like how strong my faith really was in God, because I've been so just complacent here. I've been so living so comfortably that I sometimes forget about God, and sometimes I forget about how blessed I am to live in Irvine. So that's what Philippines showed me. The people there were really loving. They were really happy. They had so little, and yet, but the only thing like they really needed was God, and for them, that's the only thing they really wanted, and really, that's what kept them going, and that's what made them happy. And yeah, that's what I learned from Philippines.
Hello, my name is Nathan. This is my first time to the Philippines mission trip too, and I think the one thing that stood out to me the most and was the most inspiring was just the community and like the love for each other that they had and for God. Like, I remember when we were building the house in at IRC, I remember we went in there first day and we were like, all I thought was, oh, we were just going to do it by ourselves. So when we go out there, like, we all have our, like, wood columns and everything, carrying them by our, like, shoulders. And I remember, like, this little kid, like, this high, and I was carrying the wood column, and I was like, oh, like, it was super long, so I was kind of off balance, and this kid just, like, this high was carrying, like, two of them. He was walking, and I was like, whoa, how is this kid carrying this? And so when we get to the construction area, like, the whole neighborhood and, like, the whole community was there already, like, ready to help out, do whatever they could, even though, like, the little kids were just there to watch. And that just inspired me that, like, they, like, the love for God they have and for each other and how much community they have and their faith, too. I remember another thing when we were going to have the service at IRC, it was raining super hard. And I remember, like, as soon as it stopped raining, you know, all they have is dirt roads there, and they, like, all they wear is the slippers. And I remember after it stopped raining, like, the second after they start coming, I was like, how'd you guys even get here? It was, you know, they live, like, probably, like, a mile away, and it's just crazy how much faith they have and the love that they have for God. So, yeah.
Hi, my name is Michael, and this was my second time going to the Philippines on a missions trip. And I kind of wish I went first because everyone kind of took what I was going to say. But, yeah, one of the things I really wanted to talk about was the theme of our mission. And unlike John, I understood what it meant when we are weak and he is strong. But I had a hard time kind of applying it, I guess. So going to the Philippines, I understood what the theme for our mission was, but it didn't really hit me until I saw everyone there, and I was able to see just how poor, like, all the poverty in the Philippines. But the thing that stuck out to me was, even though they were really poor, they were, like, really rich, and they were very, very, like, rooted in God, and they were, like, honestly, like, I can't really compare it to people here, because it's just, when you look at people here, like, okay, I don't even know. I don't know where I was going with that. But they're just, they didn't really have anything except for God, and that was one of the reasons why their faith was so important to them. And that's one of the reasons why their sense of community is so strong, and why people there help each other out, because they need to, or else that's all they have, really. And yeah, I'm gonna do what I was gonna say.
Thanks so much, Mike. Thank you, missions team. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, when we are weak, then he is strong, right? I'd like to show this video again.
IRC envisions to adapt a community, go into this community, live with them, and translate the gospel message of Jesus Christ into day-to-day living through services that the center could offer to the community people. IRC operates through its five major advocacies. First is the values formation. That is where we teach people the value and the importance of their relationship with Christ. Because we believe that without their relationship with Christ, they will not understand, they will not appreciate, and they will not see the hope that God is offering them. Secondly, we also emphasize social entrepreneurship. We are teaching them that they should be somebody who is earning for themselves and not just depending on any help, but they are starting to create venues and small businesses that they are already knowledgeable of and they're masters of it. So we empower them so they could have an income from out of it and could be used for their day-to-day living. Thirdly, we have the education and technology advocacy, and that is, we emphasize that they need to be educated, and if they don't like to be in a formal school, there's still hope for them even to do technology or be enrolled in a skills training program so that again they could help themselves earn and live a better lifestyle. Fourthly, we have their health and environment advocacy. We teach them that they should value health so that their income would not just go to medicines, and they should be people who are taking care of themselves. They should be eating food that will help them not just survive, but keep themselves fit. And with that as well, to take care of their environment as stewards. And last is the partnership and development. We understand that we cannot do it by ourselves, so we need partners. Now, local partners and partners around the globe that would be helping us realize this dream of transforming a community into something that God has planned it to be. You can be our partner. Anybody could be our partner. Whatever you have, whatever skills you know, whatever things that you don't need in your homes would probably mean life to our communities here. So with your help, we can be more effective and we can extend the love of Christ to other communities. And we need your prayers. And if God is calling you, you can go visit us and be a part of our team in transforming the Philippines for Jesus.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for just what you are doing all throughout the whole world. Lord, you just called us to be faithful, called us to be always asking for your strength as we humble before you and cry out to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to sing this song in response to everything that we've heard. It's all for his glory. Open our eyes to see the things that make your heart cry, to be the church that you would desire, your light to be seen. Break down our pride and all the walls we've built up inside, our earthly crowns and all our desires, we lay at your feet. Let hope rise and darkness tremble in your holy light, that every eye will see Jesus the God, great and mighty to be praised. God of all days, glorious in all of your, the majesty, the wonder and grace, and the light of your name. Let hope rise and darkness tremble in your holy light, that every eye will see Jesus our God, great and mighty to be praised.
everything, with everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, with everything, we will shout forth your praise. With everything, with everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, with everything, we will shout forth your praise. Our hearts, they cry, be glorified, be lifted high above all names, for you are King. With everything, we will shout for your praise. Jesus, God, great and mighty to be praised.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we have come this morning to worship you. Jesus, our God, great to be praised. Jesus, you're more important than us. The biggest battle we have, God, is between our kingdom and yours. Sometimes, Lord, we look in the mirror and we realize that we're looking right at the very enemy. That we battle, God, between the flesh and the spirit. We, as disciples of Christ, need to decrease that you might increase. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to get us off of our own thrones so that you could sit and be rightfully the Lord of our lives. It's good, God, for us to go on trips like this. It's good, God, for us to leave our world just as you did. You came from heaven to earth, and then you went from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave. And then you went back home. You were on mission when you came to earth. And God, we were the focus of your visit. Jesus, what you've done on the cross for us, how you have washed us clean, and how you have called us to your own. We, as your disciples, are on mission to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we leave this church today, would you remind us, Lord, that we walk out onto the mission field in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, in our families, with our friends. Help us, Lord, to represent Jesus well. God, help us. Pray for the Harvest Crusade happening. God, is there somebody that we need to take tonight that doesn't know Jesus that should go? Would you, if that's what we're to do, God, would you put that burden within our hearts and that we would invite that person to come? We pray for Greg Laurie and all that's happening at the Harvest Crusade. Thank you, Lord, for the 5,000 souls that became Christians last night. That's the reason why you haven't come yet. You are patient, not wanting any to perish and all to come to repentance. Lord, we praise you for the days, these last days. The harvest is still coming, Lord. Lord, may you remind us again today that all of us are missionaries. Thank you, Lord, for this service, and thank you for those in our church that went on the mission field. God, they represented all of us, and we all supported them by prayer and by finances, God. And now we just give you the praise for all that happened. You are God, and we just love you and praise you. So thank you, God. Jesus be glorified. And this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.